everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers. So let's get started.
Okay, so graduation is an important academic milestone for any student at any level. It's an occasion to look back on and celebrate what you've accomplished over the years. It's an exciting time, but it can also be an emotional one for so many reasons. There is a lot to juggle as you prepare to close one chapter of your life and begin a new one. As graduation gets closer, it's normal to feel a little overwhelmed by everything that's going on. By keeping a few things in mind as you prepare to graduate, you can handle the occasion with ease and success.
So today we're speaking with Cassina Frazier, aka Queen K of Access Granted. Cassina was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey, but has been living in Buffalo for the past 12 years. Cassina pursued a master's degree in social work and currently serves as a project director for a historical pre-collegiate program that serves first-generation high school students at a university in Buffalo, New York. First of all, Buffalo cold. I don't know how you do it. Okay. Understanding that education is the surest pathway out of poverty. In 2022, Cassina founded Access Granted LLC, where the mission is to break barriers to college access and accessibility for students who are in underserved communities. Cassina has coined herself as the college access champion and will continue to work for equitable college access for all with full-time entrepreneurship in her future plans. She's a proud member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc., a mother of two amazing daughters, and enjoys traveling and spending time with her fiance and partner in love, friendship, and faith. Welcome, Queen K.
Thank you, ladies. Queen H and Queen P, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're so glad to have you here. So we're going to get right to it. What are your credentials? We heard in your bio you are MSW, but if you have any certification, any training, anything that you've done, and then can you tell us about you? Tell us more about you, because I know you got more going on.
I do. I have a lot going on. So currently I am a master's level social worker. When I graduated with my master's, being licensed was my goal. And I believe that as social workers, when we're in school, they teach us we have to be licensed to make money, right? I have debunked that myth. So over time, I understood that you don't have to be licensed, right, to make money. You can be an entrepreneur like myself. You can have your own business and people will pay you a lot of money for your knowledge. And social workers, I always say, we are the keepers of all knowledge. We know everything there is to know about working with every type of person, Black, yellow, brown, green, from the time they're in the womb through geriatrics and beyond, right? So we don't get a lot of credit. So shout out to all the social workers. So yeah, after a while, I was like, I didn't want to get licensed. I started studying. I was working full-time at the time. I am a mom. I'm now a fiance, soon to be wife, and just juggling all of the things. I was just like, I don't have time, right? I don't have time to study. A lot of my friends were taking the test. A lot of people were passing on first try. Some people were taking it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. I said, my coins is not that long to keep paying. So I'm just going to wait and do it like when I can like really, really do it, right? And then like time just went on and on and on. And then I learned that, you know, once again, I can make money in other ways. So a little bit about me, just to go backwards a little bit. I also decided not to get licensed because at that time in the position I was working, I was on case management for a school-based preventive program. And honestly, like I really just got tired of listening to people's problems every single day, right? I got tired of working in a school system that did not support our students, especially our Black and Brown students. I got tired of working in partnership with the county in which I live, that were in the business of displacing children, separating families, especially when those families were looking like me. I got tired of working in spaces where they said they wanted to help these families and they really just wanted to put a Band-Aid over it and just move them out the door because they were a number. I got tired of looking at generation after generation after generation of the same problem when it comes to like addiction and mental health and things like that. So I said, okay, Cassina, what you gonna do, right? So I knew what I didn't want, but I really didn't know like what I want. But once again, I've had all these skills. I went back actually to get a master's in social work. I was a non-traditional student. So I got my master's late only because it was a need in our field. And I say that because I'd been working in the field of social work well over 13, 14, 15 years before I even got my master's. So I had more knowledge about social work and services and how to navigate those spaces than a 21-year-old MSW fresh out of college. There were jobs that these people were eligible for that I wasn't because I did not have that MSW, right? You're not a like real social worker, right? But I've been social working at this point for well over a decade. So I went back and got my master's. So I coined myself, like you said in my intro, as a college access champion, understanding that education is the surest way out of poverty, working with students, especially Black and Brown students, marginalized students, underrepresented students. I'm like, they need more help, right? These families need more help. These students need more help. When I was in high school, I had a guidance counselor that she was not a woman of color, very, very nice lady, but I got accepted into an HEOP program. This HEOP program was local here in the city of Buffalo. And for the listeners who don't know, HEOP program is pretty much a program for first generation, low income. There is an eligibility factor when it comes to like how you get accepted. But my grades weren't like super, super high, but they weren't bad, like 80s, 85s, right? But like I said, I was a first generation student. My parents were broke, right? My mom, we didn't have like a lot of money. She made it do what it do, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, she didn't go to college. She, you know, went to work. So my guidance counselor basically told me, Cassina, you got accepted into this program. And it's a great program. The institution is great, but you have to go in the summer. So it was just that but, right? Like, but you have to go in the summer. So 17-year-old Cassina hears summer school, right? Never had to do summer school before. First year out of high school, I thought I was just going to turn up, live my life. I was going to work, make my little coins. And just, you know, do what it do. I didn't want to go to like college. I knew I wanted to go to college in the fall, but in the summer, I'm like, no, no way. So my trajectory was a little different. Had my guidance counselor said, Cassina, you got accepted into this program. And let me tell you a little bit about this program. You were chosen, right? Suit me up, make me feel special. Like, okay, you got into this. They chose you out of all of these students, because if we all know about HEOP and EOP and these kind of programs, like you can apply, but everybody don't get in, right? So it's selective, okay? She didn't make me feel like I was selected or that I was special. You know, had she had said you were selected out of this many amount of students to go to this program, yes, you have to go in the summertime, but guess what it's going to offer you in the summertime, Cassina? You are going to make friends. You are going to learn how to navigate this college campus. You're going to know the lay of the land. You're already going to have your tribe come August semester when school starts. You're going to be on it. You're going to have a head start. And they're going to pay for your tuition, girl. They're going to pay for your books. Your parents won't have to pay for this. You can stay on campus. Campus life is great. Let me tell you a little bit about that, right? So if someone is selling this to you, because essentially that's what we have to do as educators, those who are in the education space, we have to sell this stuff to students, right? And you have to think, it's been a while since I graduated high school. I graduated in 98. Times are a lot different, right? Social media, things have evolved. Now we're here, we are in 2024. We really, really have to sell stuff to kids because their attention span is like TikTok. You got all the 10 or 15 seconds. And if you don't get it, then that's it. So it was not sold to me like that. Had it had been, I would probably be Dr. Cassina Fraser at this point. My student loan debt would be significantly lower. I probably would have still been a social worker because it did take me a little while to kind of figure it out. But I just wanted to be what no one was for me. So that's how I got into the space of working in higher education, now coined the College Access Champion. I've worked across many spans of social work. I've worked for child protection. I've worked in foster care. I've worked in the school system. I've done literally all things except for work on the medical side of social work. I never really wanted to work in a hospital because hospitals are kind of like, you know, dirty and things like that. That's just nothing that never excited me. But I just always had a passion for helping people. And I knew that I really, really wanted to help children, families, especially women, because as women, we are mothers. We are like the strongest people. We hold the family together. So I would always tell my parents, if we're not right, our kids aren't going to be right. Your husband, your mate, your spouse is not going to be right. Like, everything is just going to fall apart without the woman, because we are so awesome. Thank you, God, for making us women as beautiful and melanated and great as we are. And so, yeah, that's pretty much how I just got into being now the College Access Champion, traveling, getting flued out here, there, and everywhere to work at campus, work for community-based organizations, doing workshops, facilitating workshops and things like that, and just helping these kids get to college because it's accessible and it is attainable for whoever you are.
First of all, when you said you graduated in 98, I said, you out here looking young, okay?
Come on.
I said, all right, millennials is really out here killing it. Looking young. First of all, y'all don't even know what we look like. Okay. So this is it. Y'all know we keep it anonymous, but I'm just telling you from across the screen, she looking young. Okay.
Thank you. They have to follow me on social media so they can see what I'm looking at.
There you go. So, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because for a time when I worked in child welfare, I did the educational planning for the youth in foster care, and getting them, one, opportunities and the services that they need in the education system within New York mm-hmm. City. But when they were towards the end of high school, helping them plan if they're going to go to college, what's the situation? Some of them had never been outside of New York City. So taking them on college tours, we were traveling all over the place. And so there's a real need for people, especially when you're talking about underrepresented people, to know their possibilities, what they have access to, because many of the youth that I worked with, their counselors at school wasn't really working with them. They had a few that were. I'm not going to say that they all weren't, but they weren't really working with them. And they definitely slipped through the cracks on a lot of things. But because they had us, the education department within the agency, they were lucky. We caught them, right? We caught them. We would advocate for them. We would do what we needed to do. But they never saw themselves going to college because nobody else had. And many of them were eligible for HEOP or H-E-O-P, right? We call it HEOP in New York, right? And getting them HEOP, getting them to school, trying to get them to stay in school. And that's why the HEOP program was good, because all the activities and the programming that they have and the camaraderie that is formed from being in the program, you know, could really help, you know, a first generation college student, right, who's never seen it. So just all the things that you were saying kind of resonated with me. And yeah, definitely,
you know, like just to your point, especially with the foster care students, they could legit get a degree for free, right? But they don't know that, and if no one tells them that, you know what I mean? Like, just because you, in your past or what happened in your life, it can change the trajectory of your future, but it does not have to be negative, right? Like, just because you're in foster care, we have doctors out here, Lord, people that, you know what I mean? Like, that have had horrible, horrible traumatic situations and upbringing, but that you have to have someone in your life that can tell you, you can, right? Like, even though this is your right now, it doesn't have to be. And if you can go get a degree for the free, what? Listen,
$3.99.
They should be running. Sign me up. But if no one ever told them that they can do it, then they're not gonna want to do it, right? If no one ever told them you can be great, you can be this, like, if they're dependent on the extent of their trauma, and no one was speaking life into them, because I'm a huge advocate. Any student I come across, I tell them all the time, I am now part of your network, because I always say your network is your net worth. Be careful of the people that you surround yourself with. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things that we tell our kids, we tell our students, things like that. But I'm like, now you have me, you have Miss Cassina. I always say I'm the email queen, no matter what college campus, whatever you need, I'm there. I will send an email on your behalf. If you're local, I will pop up. Like, you have me forever, because I may be the only person in their life that they come across. And I always say, I plant the seed. I may not see that seed ever come to fruition, because some students I might see just once, but they're always gonna remember, Miss Cassina told me. I remember when I sat in that workshop and we were up moving around and having fun, and she let me play Lil Baby and Beyonce while I was working, and we had a good time. But something is going to stick, right? And I'm leaving that mark on these students, and they can come back to me at any time, call me, email me, and they do. And they do. So it's definitely rewarding. It's definitely my passion, and it's definitely my purpose. And I'm just doing the work of the good Lord and helping these students every day, every day, every day, every day. So I'm thankful, definitely thankful.
So the next question was going to be, like, what drew you into work around college access? But it sounds like you've been saying that, you know, continuously since we started, about like what you didn't have as a young student, as a young person being introduced to, you know, higher education. So tell me specifically, what does this work look like, right? College access. Is there a primary demographic that you also work with more than others? It sounds like your target population is high school students, but I'm not sure. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. So college access to me, and I spell with a K, obviously, for Cassina. But my primary demographic that I work with is high school students and first year college students. It can also be second year college students, because just because a student goes to college doesn't mean like, okay, it's like, oh, you're 18, you're 19, now you're here, now you get it. There you go. We're going to throw you onto the wolves. Bam. Adulting at its finest, right? You don't need no help. You fine. What I've learned, and as social workers, we understand when these students have these problems in high school, middle school, wherever. I've used to work at Head Start, which is crazy. So I had like the babies, the 3 to 4 year olds, right? The trauma for them, some of my 3 and 4 year olds began in the womb, right? Like, so they've literally just had it all of these lives. So now you have 18, 19, 20 year old Bobby on this college campus. They have 20 years of trauma, 20 years of rejection, 20 years of abandonment, 20 years of not knowing where my next meal is coming from, 20 years of living in poverty. I live in Buffalo, New York. We are one of the poorest cities in the world. Like, that's crazy, crazy, crazy. I think the statistics I was just reading the other day, like the average like wages for families is like $31,000-$32,000 a year. That's insane. And it might have been a little lower than that. So I'm probably speaking a little higher, but it's crazy. But so you get these students and they're on these college campuses and they're failing. Life is still lifing, right? They still don't have clothes. Their basic needs are not getting met, right? We understand Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, if this not met, like, how do we expect them to perform here, 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 and here? So the one thing that I do with Access Granted, with my workshops, is teaching them life skills, teaching them not only how to get to college, but to get through college. Anybody can write an essay, you know, Queen H, you can sit down with little 18-year-old Cassina, like, okay, we're going to write this essay. We're going to get some money. You're going to get accepted. Da-da-da-da-da. Boom. Here go Cassina, 18 on the college campus. But then it's like, okay, now what? Because then when we hit that first hardship, or if Cassina has transportation barrier, or if Cassina still is living in this same household of all of this trauma and domestic violence and like all of these things that has just been going on all her life, the first thing that's going to go is school, right? Because that's going to be at the bottom of the list. So with my workshops, I teach my students how to be successful to complete post-secondary education. As people of color, we get there, but we don't always finish. Is it by design? Absolutely. Is the system against us? Absolutely. Are barriers thrown in our face? Absolutely. Look at the FAFSA. We've all done a FAFSA at some point in our life, right? Very complicated. And we have degrees on degrees on degrees and have helped probably other people do it, but it's still complicated. So if it's complicated for us, imagine a parent with a 5th or 6th grade level that has only like had to work and been a mom. Like, they're going to sit down like, I can't do this. Student can't do it. So they're just like, okay, well, I'm just not going to go, right? So I am like literally all of that for the students that I come in contact with. When they're on these college campuses, I particularly like doing like the freshman orientation for the college students, because once again, they're terrified. They're freshmen. They're on this campus. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to expect. But I'm giving them those tools. Once again, just planting those seeds, giving them those tools, because when they get in these situations, it's like now you have about 3 or 4 more tools in your toolbox that you can pull out. Oh, Miss Cassina said, if this happened, let me do this. Oh, Miss Cassina said, like, oh, let me seek out a mentor. Let me find somebody on campus to do this. You know what I mean? Just to give them those resources so that when they find themselves in a bind, they can, you know, be able to be successful and move forward. And then we talk about COVID. 2 years learning loss, right? So our freshman college students are really 10th graders in high school, mentally, there's so many things that they lost socially, social anxiety that is like through the freaking roof. These kids don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to communicate outside of this box. Like, we're in a Zoom box. I know that the listeners are listening to us on they're probably their cellular device. They don't know how to be outside of that. I've had students that wanted to check on a application at a Family Dollar, and she said, well, Miss Cassina, can I just text the manager? Huh? My first thing was like, oh, you have her phone number? But this is what, you know what I mean? So like, these are all of the things and the skills and the tools that I'm teaching these students. Cause just cause they get to a college campus, sometimes we just assume like, ta-da, now they get it. Now they know you're in college, you know, go be an adult, but they're still 16 years old. They're still like in the 10th grade. So I particularly really like doing the freshman orientations because they're looking at me like a deer in headlights. Like, what did I get myself into? Help, please.
Yeah, that transition can be difficult for even people who have all the proper supports.
Exactly. Right?
And so even more so for people that may be challenged in that area, right? And so it's good to have some kind of resource or a person or somewhere you know you can go to feel safe, get your questions answered, and really feel supported, because going to college it's a big decision, right?
Yes.
We're encouraged to go to college, but people say you have to go to college if you want to do something for your life, but they still really don't explain why. What happens when you go to college? What is the possibility? Sit down and break it down. Like,
yeah,
you know, and if you don't go to college, what are your other options? Do you need to go to a trade school? Because listen, we learn, right? Just like how you brought up the point, like to be a social worker, you don't have to be licensed, right? You can be a master social worker or a BSW and do your work as a social worker, right? We choose to get licensed for a variety of reasons. If we want to work in mental health, when we work in healthcare, they require that. And some jobs require, but really and truly, you are a social worker as long as you have your BSW, your MSW, your DSW. That's it.
That's it.
Right? That's what makes you a social worker, right? So, you know, really and truly understanding that even during COVID, the trade schools, the people who were in a trade, they were popping. Okay. They was out here making every dollar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Every dollar. Okay. So people need to expand their mind, because at one point back in the day, hardly anybody went to college. Right. And everybody was in the trade. They were learning to be a plumber, electrician, a welder, a bricklayer. And I know some of those jobs may be going out, some may be going in, but there are certain things that are not, because you're still going to need a plumber. You're still going to need an electrician. We need the lights. Hello. That's how we on. We need all of those things. We need people to fix our refrigerator, the AC, because it's hot. Okay, when it get hot, you know, someone to fix the heater because it's cold. Okay, because New York get cold. Listen, Buffalo, the snow be up to the roof. Okay, so we need those people that know how to do things. So being able to sit down with someone who's real and not just pushing one agenda, but saying, okay, hey, what's good for you?
Yeah.
What's happening for you? I'm going to tell you all the possibilities. Yeah, I want you to go to college. Of course, I want you to go to college. But what is good for you? What's happening in your life right now? And maybe you do this trade and then later on you go ahead and go to college after that, but college don't have to be out of the plan, but it don't have to happen when you 17, 18 either. Yeah. Right. Sometimes you need a little bit more maturity. So go ahead, take this little class here and go ahead and do what you got to do and do what you know what I mean? And get yourself together and ready. And I feel like this moves into what we wanted to ask you next, which is, what are the top three things students can do to prepare for the transitions around graduation?
Yeah, so it is a lot. And when I was thinking, like, I'm like, how can I narrow this down to three? So the most important that I learned later on that I always instill in my students is to find a mentor. Everyone needs a mentor. And what does that look like? A mentor should not be your peer. It should be someone definitely older than you, particularly in the space in which you want to be. So say if you want to be a teacher, seek out a teacher, right? To be your mentor. Someone in the church, a clergy, or just someone that you know. It could be like an older family friend, just someone that you trust, someone that can be that safe space for you, and someone that can, you know, guide you to where you need to go. My daughter will be 21 this year. We are the best of friends. My bonus child will also be 21 this year. So we have two 21-year-olds. But when I was raising Nevaeh, my daughter, we've always had a great, great relationship. You did speak in my bio that I'm a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. My daughter is now also, my legacy, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. But she has been working with our youth auxiliaries since she was 8. So all she knows is final womanhood, service, sisterhood, you know, like all of our principles. That's all she knows. But she's also, her whole life had my then sorors, because I wasn't a soror at that time, as mentors. She had these educated Black women in her life working with her, feeding into her, talking about all of the things that mom was talking about. But sometimes kids, and myself included, we always didn't want to listen to our parents, right? Mama, grandma, dear, nana, that, like, we thought they was old. They didn't know what they were talking about. Sometimes those things have to come from somebody else. So my then sorors were pretty much just like reinforcing the same thing that I was reinforcing at home. But the importance of having a mentor, like I said, is having a safe space. Even though my daughter and I, we've always talked about everything, she's always had another person, right? Like my best friend, I call her my baby mama because she's my daughter's godma. She's always had her to go to. She's always had a close relationship with her nana. I taught her very early, and this is going to be the second part, is to network. And that is very hard for students. And some students might think, I'm 17. Like, why do I need to network? I don't want to have to make friends with Queen H and Queen P on social media. For what? They just be talking about social work stuff. Well, do you want to be a social worker? Well, I don't know, maybe. So why would you not want to follow them? Why would you not want to seek them out and ask them questions? But that goes back to this generation, right? They're scared to talk to people. They don't know how to communicate with people. But networking, baby, networking can get you many, many places. My daughter, she attends an HBCU. When I tell you over these 3 years how many elbows of celebrities and people that she has had the privilege of rubbing arms with, being in front of, having conversations with, talking to them about, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is my aspiration. She's a digital communications major. So getting her work into the hands and like having other people see her work that would not have had seen her work had she maybe attended a PWI. And for those who don't know, that's a predominantly white institution. Or not had her mom in her ear like, girl, you better network, 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 network. Give people your business cards. Tell them who you are. If you don't have a business, you can still have a business card. Guess what? Because you have a name. You have a first name. You have a last name. You're attending a school. And you have a photo, right? Put it on there. You have a phone number. You have a social media handle. You have an email, and it should be a professional email. It should be Cassina.Frazier@gmail, not Cassina, let's get money all day, every day, 123@gmail.com, right? But this is things that I teach my students, right? So I would say definitely that would be number two. And I know I'm saying a whole lot because narrowing it down to three, it's a lot. But we definitely want to mentor. We definitely want to network, and in networking, like I said, it does come like maybe having a business card. They're digital. We live in a world of technology. There's all different type of things. And then the third one I would say is, if you are underserved, if you are marginalized, what does that mean, Cassina? You're using these big words. Break it down. Break it down. If you know your family ain't got no money like mine, right? If you had to pay tuition and they said, well, we need $2,000. By next week, and you can't go to mama and daddy and get it, and you're like, how am I going to pay? Right. This is you. Seek out programs like the one that I was talking about, the HEOP, the EOP, different TRIO programs. I teach my students, when you see TRIO, TRIO means help. I always tell them TRIO equals help. I work a lot in the TRIO spaces. Everybody on the other side of that door, I let them know, is there for you. There's a Miss Casino on the side of that door, right? They are going to help you. They're going to advocate for you. They're going to do all of the things that you need to be successful. So definitely seek out some type of program on that college campus or some type of financial assistance, because the money is out there, but you have to go and look for it. They're not just going to throw it in your lap. You have to go and seek it. So those are my three things. So let me see if I can sum it up, because I forgot what my first one was. Going back.
No, the first one was find a mentor in an area you want to explore. You talked about clergy at the church. You talked about the plumber. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you, Queen B, for bringing it on back around, honey. Now, when I said this is my passion, I could go on and on and on and on all day, because there's so many things like that I just love to pour into young people. And I have these conversations quite often. And sometimes I might hem them up in the hallway, and it's not like a it's really like a good conversation. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm not your mama, just like, you know, telling you things that you don't want to hear. I'm just like, the same way I'm talking to you is how I'm talking to my students. So definitely, you know, those are three things. And you all at the end will get all my social media handles and stuff, or how to follow me, because I'm always just like dropping little gems, dropping little tips. But it, you know, the transition is scary. It is very, very scary, but guess what? It is necessary. You should get comfortable being uncomfortable. That is okay. If you're too comfortable, something wrong. If you could just sit back and all is good and you just wake up and go, something is wrong. You should definitely get comfortable being uncomfortable, because at that time, that's when it's going to push, get some fire under your booty and push you a little harder, because the end, it's definitely attainable. You can do it. You can do it. If nobody else ever tells you, if you're listening, nobody told you can do it, and you under the sound of my voice, I don't care if I ever met you. Just remember, I heard that podcast. Them queens of social work, they had their girl Miss Casina on there. Miss Casina told me I can do it. You can do it. Absolutely.
Love that. Everything you said definitely resonated with me. So the question is, you know, in your work, do you consciously think about the intersectionality of who you are, identifying as Black, identifying as female, and what role it plays in how you deliver your services? But it sounds like you've been saying all this time that this is who you are, brought you to this work specifically.
Absolutely. And you know what? So I always go back to parenting. I say my daughter is literally the poster child for my business, right? So I tell people, if you don't know what I'm talking about, look at this child. Look at her. You can follow her on social media. You can see all that she's doing, but she literally is amazing. 3.8 GPA at an HBCU, rocking it, killing it out here. She is a business owner as well. She has her own business. She is the videographer for the basketball team. So they traveled. They won CIAA last year. She was just at All-Star Weekend. She was with Steph Curry. She in the locker room with this person. She's down on the floor with the camera doing this, like at All-Star Weekend. She's just living her best little life at 20 years old, having done things that at almost 44, I still want to do, right? Can I meet Steph? Can I be in the locker room? Can I be hanging? Can I get all of the gear? You know what I mean? But literally, she gets it. There's conversation we have now at 20 that she's like, Mom, remember when you said da 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 da? Like, I get it now. Like, it clicks, right? But the seed was planted. So once again, like I said, I may never see the fruits of my labor, right? But the seed is planted. And somewhere down the line, they're going to get it, like, oh, Miss Casina. But I've always told her, she went to a predominantly white high school. She was subjected to racism very, very early. In the fourth grade, when we moved into the district in which we live. And I moved into this district because of the education system, right? I always understood that education is the surest way out of poverty. And my parents couldn't do it for me, but I was going to do it for mine. And so I said, if I need to sacrifice and pay a little bit more in the rent to live out here in a good part of town so my baby can go to the good school, not the school that I work in, right? To the good school. That's exactly what I'm going to do. But I've always told my daughter, you are going to be Black your entire life. That's not going to change. You're going to be a woman your entire life. That's not going to change. And people aren't going to like you because of it. And guess what? You are going to be an educated Black woman your entire life. And that's not going to change. But education is one thing I always say that they can never take away from you. They can strip you from this, and that. But guess what? Them letters after my name, oh, I earned all of them, right? Them degrees on my wall from the associates on up, I earned all of them. And none of that can be taken away from me. That is something that I'm very, very, you know, very, 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 very proud of. So I wear that like a hat. I let my students know I work at a PWI currently. Myself and my assistant director, we are both Black women, both first generation. And I find myself in a lot of spaces with people that don't look like me, but I walk in with my head up because guess what? You got a degree and so do I. You got some credentials, I do too. And 9 times out of 10, I know a little bit more about a whole lot of stuff that you don't know. These are things that I teach my students. I teach my students about Brown versus Board of Education. We have this conversation at least twice a year because the population of students that I work with is a high refugee population. They have fled to this country for education, right? They value education a little bit more than American students. Our American kids, they spoiled. They real spoiled. they're just so spoiled. But some students, they value, you know, this education, but I teach them about Brown versus Board of Education. I let them know that, yes, this is something that you're valued and that, yes, it is great in America. We're able to do like all of these things, but the system was never created for us. This system was never, it was never meant for us. We are in 2024 and it's still not meant for us. We are still very much oppressed. There are still a lot of barriers that are thrown our way in the education system, higher ed, all of it. So that is something like I really, really teach that to really every student that I come across, whether it's the high school or the college. And it just doesn't have to be the Black kids, because sometimes the white kids that have white privilege don't know that they have white privilege. So that's a whole nother conversation. They don't know, as Johnny, like, wow, I'm here. I don't need a scholarship because my mom pays da 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 da. And then, you know, you got Susie over here, like, she's struggling because she, you know, trying to get in the HEOP program, or she don't know how she's going to buy her books. Like, so sometimes, like, these students are in the same place and they don't even know, you know, each other's struggles. So definitely being a Black woman, I wear it with pride. But when I'm talking to my students, students of color and not, I'm definitely giving them a real, real quick history lesson, because I need them to understand that it's important that you know your history. And if you're not a person of color, hopefully you are an ally. Your voice would be heard in certain spaces, whereas mine may not, or, you know, I might get looked down. So, yeah.
No, that's wonderful. And I agree. Everyone needs to know history, right? It's not just Black history. That's American history.
Absolutely. Right?
Because if it wasn't for Black people, a lot of the rights that people would have, they would not have. Okay, yes. And that's plain and simple. And I don't care who say what.
Who say right? What? Because Queen A said it.
There you go. And it's in the books. Okay, read a book. Hear How about me. That? Hear anyway. Look, I digress.
Wait, Queen A, knows- did you say it's in the books?
Oh, it's in the books.
Okay, so you know, it's so funny you say that, because I believe I just was telling a student the other day, and I'm very sure that it is Malcolm X, who said, if you want to hide something from a Black person, where are they supposed to put it, Queen H? What do you say?
Put it in a book. Put it in a book. But this is it. If you want to hide something from anybody, because it's not just Black people, because listen, there's a lot of white people out here not reading the book. Because listen, if they were reading, or if they understood how things work, we wouldn't have the orange man running around here. So how about that? So
how about it?
Look, he who should not be named, because we're not calling that. We're not invoking that spirit. How about
we not?
So, and Queen P, no, I'll go off. So I just don't want to go off. I want to keep it on the tracks. I want to keep this on the tracks, okay?
Keep it cute. Keep it cute.
Exactly. So, you know, as we begin to wind down, what is it that you want the people to know, right? Sum it up. What do you want the people to know and walk away with?
The thing that I want people to walk away with, I know I've said a lot, and I said I can go on and on because it is my passion, but your parents' education, your zip code, your address, the color of your skin should not be a barrier to your academic success. Right, you can live in the hood of the hoodiest hood, and you are still worthy, and you can still come up out on top. College is still attainable for you if that is what you want to do. So don't think that just because, you know, your parents didn't do it or grandmama didn't do it, it is not attainable. Even if you have someone in your household that's saying, "What you want to go to college for? I didn't go to college." your granny ain't go to college. Look at us. We turned out fine. I've heard that so many times. And I'm looking like, well, did you really turn out fine? Because I see you struggling with mental health every day. I see you have very, very high anxiety. I see that you do not have very positive coping skills and you're drinking. I see that you rolling up weed in front of all of your kids, their whole entire life, and they think weed is like the cigarettes at this point. And they going to school smelling like weed and CPS is being called. Like, I see all of these things. So did you really turn out okay? Right. And sometimes it's very hard if this is like our parental figure, our guardian and things like that. But sometimes when you get to the age of like the 18, 19 and 20, when you're like really adulting and it just sets in, like you have to think for yourself. What do I want to do, right? What does 18, 19, 20-year-old Cassina want to do? How am I going to make myself better so that I can earn a sustainable wage and be able to take care of myself and later on, you know, take care of my family? And it does not matter where you come from, what you look like. Is being first scary? Absolutely, right? But somebody has to do it. And you might be the first in your family, but you're not the first ever. And there's definitely plenty of first generation students out there. I'm one of them. And I would like to say that I'm successful, right? It took me a little minute to find my niche, but I do have three degrees. I am a business owner. I have a great family. I absolutely love my job. I really, really love getting up and going to work every day. And it is a career and not a job. And that's a whole different thing, the difference between a career and a job. So definitely, yeah, I would just say, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you look like. If you're scared to be first, that's okay. Because once again, what Ms. Cassina say, you could do it. And you can use a little bit of those tools that I gave to you during this interview. And if it's okay, Queen H, Queen P, I can give my social media handles because now they can follow me to get some more tips. You can follow me on TikTok. Don't laugh at me because I am not the greatest dancer. However, I love doing TikToks because they're fun and I do them with my students sometimes. But you can follow me at my business name on TikTok and Instagram, and it's Access Granted, AK, like Cassina, AKCESSGRANTED.NY. And my phone number, I always give out my number, 716-336-4865, because students do call, students do text. If you're the sound of my voice and you just want to shoot me a text, you have a question, feel free. I have no problem hopping on a Zoom call, chatting with you, working some things out. But yeah, definitely follow me because I'm dropping little nuggets. I'm dropping gems. I'm sharing scholarship information. Sometimes I might be on Instagram Live. I might bring somebody on, an educator, a person in the community, my daughter. I throw her on Instagram Live quite often because she is where a lot of students want to be. She's 20 years old. She's in a sorority, she's partying, she's living her life, but she's about her business and she balances it well. So sometimes she'll just come on, you know, talk to the people that are listening. Because once again, it's attainable. It is definitely attainable. And you can have a good time doing it. You can have a great time doing it, actually. But the end result is key. And that is successfully completing your post-secondary education. Because getting that in your hand, baby, they can't take it away. They can't take it away. It's a great feeling.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, Queen Kate. You have blessed us with all of your knowledge and information. We asked for the top three things, but you gave four. So we're going to go ahead and share.
I'm sorry. I'm a social worker. I can't count now. I'm not a mathematician.
I think that was actually a requirement for getting a master's in social work because none of us can add. So
listen, statistics took me out. I said, what? Playing cards, how many? 54 cards? Oh, 53 cards in a playing deck. I don't know. None of that was relevant to me. I just want to help the people, Jesus. I want to help the people.
And this is why we do the work we do, because we can't add. It's okay. We out here solving real problems, though. We solving world hunger and world peace, okay?
Come on with the real problems.
Hold on. Speak for yourself. I can add.
Well, I can add using, I use a calculator, because in my full-time job, My grant funded program is $1.4 million. So I have to budget a lot of money for my program. However, I have a very nice accountant at my university that helps me and an awesome assistant director because I don't like to add. I just want to help people. But it is a requirement, so.
Math requires help. for Queen P. It absolutely does.
For Queen K too.
OMG. All right. So the people know how to get in touch with you. You let us know what's important. And again, thank you for being on.
Thank you, Queen H and Queen P.
If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.